Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And I've made it back from Montana.
From the great wide open spaces?
Yeah, big sky state.
Big country.
For the end of Illinois Craft Beer Week. I was celebrating Illinois Craft Beer Week in Montana.
In Montana.
Yeah, lots of breweries there. Nothing that, like, blew me away. Mm-hmm. Decent stuff.
So compared to the Chicago scene, it's kind of... Well, is there a comparison? Is there anything that reminds you of home or from a beer perspective?
I felt like there were some decent, like, regular IPAs or West Coast IPAs, mm-hmm. but you have to drive so much, it's sort of like, I don't really want to get into this, like, 8% hazy or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
So I was doing a lot more lighter things, and I was like, these are fine.
Okay. Yeah, we're spoiled. We're spoiled.
But because it's Illinois Craft Beer Week, we have a mixed six-pack going on right now because I have lots of, like, single beers in the fridge, just stuff hanging around, and felt like a good time to showcase a few things we haven't got into, haven't talked about in a while, breweries, whatnot, and beers.
I can dig it, man. Hazy Pale from Casa Humilde, a West Coast IPA from Bubble House, a unfiltered farmhouse lager from Dutch Bag, a black IPA from Scorched Earth, a dry hop spelt Saison from Revolution, and of course, Dicey Riley from Begao.
Yeah, okay. I felt like it's a good rounded thing. We got some lagers, some IPAs. Black IPAs. Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going to go next, man.
Okay, we started with this Casa Humilde Hazy, and it's nice. It's 6%. It's hitting everything you want it to hit.
It's easy. What are the hops in here, man?
Citra and Amarillo.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's a throwback right there.
Yeah. You usually see the Amarillo going into these Hazies because it wasn't it like too expensive or not worth the juice to squeeze?
The juice. Often you have to ask, Brad, is the juice worth the squeeze? You know, that's a popular corporate phrase right there, Brad.
So you don't see a lot of Amarillo hazies. Usually they got the Mosaic and citrus, but so this is really nice.
Yeah, fragrant, toppy, hazy, juicy.
Cool. So there's been a bunch of stops we've been making. Let's decide on this other beer we're gonna open up first.
There, I mean, I think Dutch Rally is gonna be good. But then I've never had the Dutch bag thing too. So
unfiltered farmhouse, hazy to farmhouse.
What are you thinking? That's why I decided this Irish Red could be the middle ground.
Okay,
and then go all the way right and go to the lager.
And then maybe we'll come back to Bubble House. See what we're doing. All right. Let's open it up just so we're ready to go. All
right.
Classic one from St. Patrick's Day time. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have a bunch of things to talk about. Probably the most recent that Nick went to while I was in Montana, Dark Lord Day.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Three Floyds. You know, over the years, I think we've known a lot of people in the Three Floyds universe. We've met people that have come through Three Floyds, no exception this year. That's why I like the party, because you get to run into folks that you haven't seen in a while. So in the door, first person I see is a guy that used to brew at Argus.
Oh, okay.
So he's working at Floyd's now. In fact, me and this guy, Byron, we went to Great Taste one year together.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, nice. So, you know, we're yakking it up. We had some fun times. And, you know, he hands me a PBR. You know, he gets me a one of last year's variants, Casino Beach.
Okay.
Which is a, if I got this right, rum and cognac barrels, but it had coconut and banana. in it.
Okay, those are all flavors you enjoy.
I mean, dude, this was a fantastic start. Yeah. You know, I got my PBR, I got my fucking Dark Lord, I'm ready to rock. I'm telling him about the rumor that we hear about how the to-go kiosk is moving from the brewery to the distillery to make room for the reopening, that kind of shit. That's what we're hearing. And he's hearing the same thing. He's hearing that the Lone Wolf guys, it'll be a partnership with Lone Wolf, and Lone Wolf is possibly going to go in there and
run the restaurant?
And run the kitchen. It'll be a partnership between Floyd's and
does the Lone Wolf here have food? They got, like, the popcorn.
They got food.
They got food?
They got like, food. I've been there on a few late nights. I'm kind of surprised. I was surprised they had food when I had it.
Okay. And I feel like I've only gone there for drinks, and I've been like, damn, these are expensive drinks.
Yeah. You'll go broke hanging out in fucking Lone Wolf.
Right.
There's got to be a connection there, because every time you go to Lone Wolf, they've always got, like, a handful of Floyd's taps. They have Dark Lord on tap sometimes at
Well, there
Lone
was
Wolf.
The rumor a long time ago that this was basically a Three Floyd's tap room.
Right. I think there's some laws at play where you can't officially have one, but I think they're very friendly with each other, let's say that.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Okay, so Lone Wolf will be the brew pub or the pub restaurant at Floyd's?
That's the rumor, yeah. Lone Wolf will run the tap room.
Huh.
Run the brew pub.
But it won't be restaurant. Technically a brew pub. It'll be a brew pub. It'll be a restaurant at the brewery, because it's no longer a brew pub. Or would it be?
Well, that's what a brew pub is. It's a brewery with food, right? That's the brew pub.
Right. So, run by Lone Wolf.
Right. So instead of Brad opening his brewery and hiring his own chef and his own staff, and, you know, he just hires Nick's hamburger stand, and Nick's hamburger stand comes and runs the fucking kitchen.
And we were going to see this with Half Acre when they were going to have Big Star come in there and take over the kitchen.
So it's not too much different from that. Okay. It sounds like, right?
But they didn't do that because pandemic stuff and then.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone really knows what the hell's going on. So you just ask a bunch of people that you've met before. And just try to get closer to, and just try to have a cumulative of what folks are saying.
Okay, but so, we can just say Lone Wolf is opening.
That's what it sounds
like. Taking over the brew pub.
So when it happens, we can say we said it first.
We said it first, yeah. May 25th, here we go.
Yeah, so Dark Lord was off to a good start, man. Ran into a couple of guys that listened to the pod, so that's always fun, you know, and they commented on Suburban Journeys recently. I'm like, man, that's all Brad. You know, caught me off guard too. I'm like, I don't even know who he is anymore.
I went past the suburbs. I went all the way to Montana. I just kept going.
Yeah, so that was cool, man. So cheers to the folks I've seen. Ran into a few people that I've crossed over the years, like Girls Pine Out. Yeah. And then the Girls Pine Out guy is married to a guy from Mars. So, you know, you just have these random conversations you didn't expect with folks that you haven't seen in like 10 fucking years. So that part's pretty cool. And then I actually hung out and watched a metal show or two. I can be honest with you, man. There's this band called Enforced. And they were the best show of the shows I watched. They were very engaging with the crowd. But when he's doing his mic check, he's like, mic check, check. And then when he starts going in with the yelling and shit and the mosh pit starts, I'm like, yo, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I gotta go, man. So I started in the front. But then when the shit really started going down, I went to the back.
Okay.
But yeah, man, you know, it's the same party. You know, it's the same party we all know and love, because there's a bottle, giant bottle share, giant metal fest, and like 50 guest drafts.
Okay. So how did the crowds or the size of it compare to the previous years?
For me personally, I enjoyed the kind of lighter vibe of it. So the most populated spaces, like they always were the pit, where the concerts were had, the concert tent. And then right behind the concert tent is all the guest drafts and a gigantic truck that pours all these beers. And then after that, the most concentrated area is the gigantic bottle share tent, which is like directly in front of the, directly across the street from the distillery.
Yeah, okay.
So, but all the walkways to these other, the other trucks that were pouring were actually kind of easy to get to. Easy to navigate. It wasn't as crowded, I don't think.
Nice, okay.
So, still a lot of people, but it was super easy to navigate. So, for example, me and Brad were just looking at the variant list for Dark Lord Day, and you know, I was able to try, like, I tried every available variant that I saw. I could walk right up and grab it.
Okay.
So it was actually pretty chill from that standpoint. So I tried Marshmallow Hangi, I tried Chemtrail Mix, I tried Sunday Thunderstorm, I got to try Royal Crochet. The only ones I didn't try were Naturally Upset and Raspberry Diamonds. People are saying good things about now Raspberry Diamonds brand. Okay. Yeah, they're bringing back, says it brings back those Bramble Rye vibes, but better. Apparently that went on at like 10 a.m. though.
Oh,
I wasn't there at 10 a.m.
You were there
I was
later?
I was there like in the afternoon, like way later.
Okay.
So,
how was the weather?
Kind of like that perfect, like 64 degrees.
Okay. You know? Last time I went, I don't know, it was a few years ago, after all the expansion and stuff, and it was just not a cloud in the sky and like 80 degrees, and the sun was like, you're just like, I'm trying to make sure I don't burn to death because I was not prepared to basically be in the sun.
Oh, for sure. Because I brought a hoodie and I brought a skull cap thinking that 65 would go to 60 real fast and I'd be too cold.
Yeah.
But it was pleasant the whole day, which is kind of surprising. So, yeah, I had myself a proper fucking Dark Lord day, man.
Did you get your donuts?
I did not get donuts. Yeah, I did. So it wasn't a traditional.
Okay.
It wasn't a traditional Dark Lord romp. So I will say that. Yeah, I missed Monster Donuts because I didn't prepare like I wanted to, Brad. So yeah.
Nice. But, and you didn't end up coming home with anything?
No, I just drank there.
Okay.
I just drank there. So
probably better off.
No, I kind of want that Sunday Thunderstorm. Sunday Thunderstorm was a barrel-aged Dark Lord with coffee, cacao nibs, and vanilla. That and chemtrail mix were really my favorite ones on draft.
Maybe someone like Chris Jacobson got them.
Yeah.
And he wants to share them.
And I feel like over the, because he had at his birthday party, he had Roy Crochet on, you know, just as one of the beers. So I feel like before the year's out, we'll probably end up trying all of these.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about
but
that.
But usually in the past, we'd have him on post Dark Lord Day to hear his story.
We've done that. We've done that twice, I think.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see him there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's doing his thing with that distributor now.
Oh,
so
okay.
Maybe that's his focus. Maybe he's like, you know. I mean, this is $333 for a VIP ticket.
Damn.
You
know,
then you got to drive shit from, I was in Pilsen before Dark Lord Day, and Dark Lord Day is 33 miles from Pilsen.
Okay.
And Pilsen's like on the south side.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's a bit of a hike and it's a bit of a commitment too. So,
sure. Yeah. Totally. Okay. But overall, good kickoff to Illinois Craft Beer Week.
Over in Munster, Indiana. Oh, a couple takeaways from the Dark Lord Day. I don't think they're using dark matter anymore in Dark Lord.
Oh.
Yeah. So when you look at the bottle, it doesn't have the dark matter logo on it. And Dark Lord, the dark matter tint wasn't there. So there's a husband and wife that used to work at Three Floyds that started their own roastery. And it's in Munster and it's called Beam Me Up.
Okay.
Or is it Bean? I think it's Bean Me Up.
Bean Me Up.
Beam Me Up, like a pun on Beam Me Up.
Sure, yeah.
But that's the coffee in Dark Lord this year.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I think, I could be wrong, but I didn't get it last year. I got it 2 years ago, but I could be wrong. But this is the first time I've seen it where there was no dark Lord. No dark matter in Dark Lord. Yeah. And when you hear, when you listen to the dark matter guys talk, the reason their flagship is called Unicorn Blood and the reason the logo looks like that is because from the very beginning, they positioned their company to partner with Three Floyds. They were huge Three Floyds fans.
Yeah.
So I don't, like, no one talked about this. I mean, as far as like the people that we ran across, they didn't either know or we didn't think to ask them, like, why the switch. But if these two guys are alums from Floyd's, I mean, shit, it kind of makes sense, you know.
And it's local, and so
they're giving people closer to the brewery a chance to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
interesting.
That was interesting. Shout out to Municipal Waste. I only know them because they've done a beer with Three Floyds, and I've always wondered. I thought Municipal Waste was another brewery, but it's a fucking metal band.
Okay.
But the lead singer from Municipal Waste was like drinking Dark Lord out the bottle and like passing it around to his crew.
Okay.
And like throwing some at the crowd and shit. So that was fun.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't, even if I was here, I don't know if I would have went, but I would have thought heavily about going.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I like that party. Well, I'm from the South Burbs. So, you know, going to a massive event south of the city, I get up for that kind of thing.
Okay.
Because there ain't a whole lot of those.
Yeah.
And then I always kind of want to try the variants. There's always at least one of these variants that hits really good.
Okay.
So, yeah. But it's a tall order to commit. It's a tall order to commit to that. Yeah. Makes especially sense. With the, you know. Oh, I'm glad you said this because, you know, there was a curvature that got opened up at Dark Lord Day.
Okay.
And I had the curvature next to the Dark Lord, and I'm like, holy fuck, this curvature is painfully sweet next to Dark Lord. And that's not a comparison I would have had if I didn't go to this thing.
Yeah.
So, because I'm drinking, you know, P3 a lot. And I'm like, yeah, sweet, but it ain't that sweet. Dude, compared to Dark Lord, which is bizarre sentence, compared to Dark Lord, this P3 is sweet as hell.
Yeah, I always thought the Phase 3 and the more stuff is too sweet.
It's too goddamn sweet.
It's too sweet for me. And the Dark Lord stuff was a maybe, the soy sauce word gets overused, but maybe like a little too like oily or like not as refined.
Yeah, they've always had...
sharp. Sharp is a better...
I've been the first one to say... this Dicey Riley's good, by the way. I never understood the OG Dark Lord. Just as a taste profile, as a beer, it was always bizarre to me. But there was something else I was going to say with that.
But then the variants, they dialed it into what it should be.
Exactly. Everyone got 3 variants. You don't need 6 OGs, right? So this year you get 1 OG and everyone gets 3 variants. I think that's the first time they've ever done that.
Yeah.
Usually it's the other way around. You get 4 OGs and you might get 1 variant. But they, in the past, they've had this affinity for these fucking, I don't know, Sauternes barrels, which is some kind of French dessert wine, or the cognac barrels, or these, you know, there's basically these really sweet barrels to accent this beer that's already kind of sweet.
Right.
And none of it really made a lot of sense to me. The only ones that were killer, I thought, were Cantrell Mix and Hangi.
Hangi, okay.
Yeah. So those were both still pretty good.
Okay.
So.
Nice. Well, before I had left to go out of town and before Dark Lord Day, I was had a couple sport events, went to the Chicago Fire.
Nice.
And then on our way back, we made some other stops, and we hit up Hot Butcher for the World.
Chicago Fire, they play at Soldier Field?
Yep.
Okay. All
right. So they were playing there on our bikes. We did the Big Star in Wrigley, which is always like a good hang, food, everything. And then we were just working our way back up north. We did Hot Butcher, we did a dive bar, and then we were at Old Irving. So
okay.
It was a good little far ride.
This is on the bikes?
Yeah.
You're insane. What's going on at Old Hot Butcher? Hot Butcher for the World, man.
Yeah, we all got little beers. I think I posted like a little cheers picture on Instagram. And I don't, at this point, I don't remember what it was, but it was nice. I think it was like a pale ale or a APA kind of thing, and it just was like... It wasn't too busy in there. We were able to get a table right away and just kind of hang out for a bit.
No stools against the wall for you?
No, we had a proper table, which was good after biking. You kind of just want to like, just chill for a minute.
And then the stools against the table, I don't think they swivel either.
Yeah.
It's a stool against a concrete wall that does not swivel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And then the following day, I was over at the Chicago Dogs, who play in Rosemont.
Man. I gotta get over to the Dogs game.
It was opening day. I've got a jersey.
When you wore the hat, I was like, you know what? This is a boss ass logo right here, but yeah, it's a Chicago hot dog on a fucking hat.
The jerseys are so so.
Really? Not as excited about the jersey as you are the hat.
No.
Okay.
Definitely not. But I have one now because it was opening day. When I got to the Chicago Dogs game, I found out before we got there early to make sure we get the jerseys, but they had enough for everybody. But we happen to get there, and if it's before, I think 5 or 6, there's this guy, or this area, it's a sanctioned Chicago Dogs area, selling $2 hams, High Life, and $3 seltzer cans. And so we grabbed a bunch of those, and they weren't opening them for some reason, so we grabbed more and like stuck them in our pockets and stuff, and was like, okay, we're not gonna pay up for the like $10 liney.
Dude, baseball prices are nuts.
But like basically a $2 beer tent until like 5 or 6, whatever it was.
You gotta do it. You're in the park still?
Yeah, you're in the park.
And it's just some random guy selling these beers?
It's sanctioned. They like opened their 30 packs of High Life and hams and stuff.
I'd probably do the same thing.
That was a sweet find.
Dude. The few Sox games I've been to, you get 2 beers, and you've already spent $28 on 2 fucking beers.
Sure.
So, Yeah, so that's a win.
Yeah, so that was nice. And then we need some food afterwards, and we decided to go Shorefuse.
I mean, it is right there.
Yeah, it's right there. You know? And we knew no matter what was happening, I think there was also a country show happening, or no, it was some sort of Mexican artist or group.
In Shorefuse?
No, at the convention center or the Ample Theater there, whatever
it is. Rosemont Horizon?
No.
No, because Rosemont Horizon is not really near all that stuff.
Yeah.
And don't even call it Horizon no more. So, the theater, Rosemont Theater, I think it's called. Yeah.
There's something happened there, but we knew that Shorefuse was going to be big enough. And we got there, no one was there.
Ridiculous amount of space. Yeah.
So we got a nice table in the back and had a few beers and had some bites to eat. And that was a good little hang. Shorefuse, I feel like I have a love hate with it. Hmm. Like some beers, you know, they hit just right, and other beers you're like, I didn't want that.
Barry White?
Yeah.
You're like, fuck this beer. But then the Hurt Locker, whatever it's called, their raspberry, they got some kind of raspberry wit beer. I mean, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, so sometimes it was what I needed, and it worked out then, and I didn't mind it. And it often gets overlooked as a Chicago, it's very close to Chicago. You can walk. It's about a 20-minute walk from the Blue Line if you get off there.
Yeah, so yeah. You can do the combo with crust pizza, which is also a brewery. Yeah. Yeah, and he's a former member of the Flock. He went to Goose. Goose is a university. Okay. He was Brian LeGros was a brewer at Goose before going to the old Shorefuse.
We were wondering as our way out, does anyone actually live in Rosemont? Can you live in Rosemont?
That's a fair question. You know, across the street from the brewery, there's some tiny apartment complex. I only notice it in the snow.
From Shorefuse?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't know anybody that lives in Rosemont.
Never met anyone in my life that said they're from
Rosemont. I'm from Rosemont. Yeah, I wonder they got to be houses in Rosemont, right?
I think unless it's a weird commercial-only township.
And then you've only got a handful of apartment complexes. I mean, this is, I don't know. I don't know nobody that lives in Rosemont.
Yeah.
now we're talking about it. And Chicago is so weird, right? Because Rosemont borders the city. And then O'Hare.
Right on the other side of that.
But O'Hare is Chicago. And then Rosemont is not.
Right. There's a weird.
There's one road that is Chicago that runs through Rosemont.
I think it might be the expressway. It's designated still Chicago because the L.
And everything around it is Rosemont. And then O'Hare is Chicago again.
It's right. But weird. It was annexed before it became O'Hare, right? Isn't that that wasn't part of Chicago?
Was not, right?
Was not, yeah.
No, and I think they said, no, this needs to be the city.
Yeah.
We don't give a fuck how you make it the city, but the airport is the city, and you guys can have whatever's not the
Rosemont,
airport.
You could be Rosemont on both sides of this little strip, but
yeah,
this is ours.
Pretty much, yeah, some weird shit.
So those were a couple of good little hangs before I left, and so it was kind of nice to get to a couple spots that are easy to get to, and just I don't make it to very often.
For sure, yeah.
Hop Butcher, well, Old Irving, I guess, all the time. But.
Old Irving's that's the example I give whenever I'm telling somebody that Brad's in the suburbs. I'm like, because I don't live that far from Brad. And then there's these breweries, and I always reference Old Irving or Aris or
Burning.
Burning Bush or Rev. Okay. That general area. And I'm like, if you don't pay attention, you'll just go to those spots.
Yeah.
Because those are the spots closest to you.
When I got to Old Irving at that point, I was on water. Because we were at a dive bar and I'm drinking old styles, and I was I just have to be done here.
Yeah.
We opened this Dutch bag, and my first taste is
how is it?
I don't like it. I do.
It's got a doughy bread, but almost like a bread that's got some kind of sweetness in it.
Okay.
Like sugar.
Second taste, a little better. Supposed to be three tastes, but I think coming off the Dicey Riley, it tasted bad.
What's a farmhouse lager?
It's a good question. Hoppy farmhouse ales and old UK pubby bubble lagers. inspired by tiny hoppy farmhouse ales and old UK pubby bubbly lagers.
I was listening to somebody's pod this week, and they talked about how it might have been the New Glarus pod, and they said there was a point in time where, before Budweiser was king, where if you open a beer, and it was supposed to be funky, it was supposed to be sour, and if it wasn't, you thought something was wrong with it.
Before Budweiser? Yeah. Oh.
So, and Budweiser kind of came in and made these, you know, clean, boring, repeatable lagers. So maybe this is a throwback to, I don't know, a time long,
that would
long
be,
ago.
That would be weird. That.
Well, yeah, because like back then, you know, there were no kegs, right? So you had an ale, and you put all the ales in cask, right, in wooden cask.
Yeah.
So who the fuck knows, you know, how it probably didn't, a lager then didn't taste like a lager would today, right? Because right. Who knows what that cask is doing to that tiny beer, you know?
Okay.
Maybe that's what they're going for.
I don't know. It says on this can, this four-grain lager is a modern, clean North American Pilsner malt with a splash of rice, wheat, and oat from a dry, lush body. For a dry, lush. Modern Michigan hops keep this profile grassy and fruity. The Norwegian farmhouse lager yeast rested for several moons and a few more just for good measure. So they must use that Norwegian yeast that lagers.
Quake.
Probably that lagers really fast, right? Or that ferments fast.
But that's an ale yeast, I thought, right? Because
oh yeah,
they use it at a festival at Atlas or Burnt City. Burnt City had a Quake Fest, and they were like, yeah, ferments in like fucking 4 days.
Yeah, that's an ale yeast. I wonder if this also does it similarly, but on the lager side. I don't enjoy it.
It's different. It's different in a way that you have to think about it. And, you know, we can go back to Dice Riley, too.
Yeah, we might go to this bubble house. But I don't know if I've ever had anything from Dutch Bag Brew. And where are they?
They are brewing out of Dunia Fermenta.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But not part of Dunier, because Dunier also has that other brand.
Odious Cellars. So there's three crews brewing down there. There's Dunier, which owns the joint, or they're renting the joint from Motor Row.
Okay.
And then they subcontract to Odious Cellars and Dutch Bag.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's three crews down there. Yeah. And I think Dunier is, there's Dunier Fermenta. And then they make the clean beers under like Modern Dune are the clean beers.
Right.
And Dunia Fermenta is the mixed fermentation beers.
Which we had, and we did a real, if you look back on our Instagram, of us, it was like a tropical one, right?
Yeah, because I think you found it, right? Yeah. In a clear bottle. Mm-hmm. But I think Modern Dune, the clean beers are trying to move out and want their own location. They're trying to separate the brands.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
That seems like a complicated love square.
Oh, two different breweries. Speaking of complications, have you heard about the Suncatcher thing?
No, from Rev?
No. They do have a beer related to Sun. It's their wheat ale. It's called Sun something Crusher.
Sun Crusher.
There's a Sun Crusher, and it's a summer ale, right?
Yeah.
A summer wheat ale. No, Suncatcher is this project from Raj from Half Acre.
Okay.
And the brewer, the co-founder of Half Acre, Matt Gallagher. So they started a brewery called Sun Catcher.
Inside of Half Acre? Or like,
well, I wasn't clear on it.
Isn't Matt still at Half Acre?
This isn't something you would do if you're still the head brewer at Half Acre. This isn't something you would do.
Because Raj went over to Dark Matter, right?
Right. I do remember that.
And so did the other guy. He was at...
Off Color?
Not Off Color. What's the place? Bohemia.
You're talking about Band of Bohemia?
He was at, for a minute he was at Dark Matter. He was at Half Acre, Dark Matter, Band of Bohemia. I don't know where he is now.
Yeah, Suncatcher is brewing a pale ale, a brown ale, and a wheat beer. And they're brewing, they're looking for a Chicago home. But until
they pick like the most boring beers to make.
It sounds like all the old Half Acre recipes. Like they're brewing Gossamer.
We don't make these beers anymore.
they're brewing Gossamer and you know, two other beers.
That other, the brown, the,
what was the brown ale called? Do you remember the mild?
Yeah.
The Half Acre's original.
The over ale.
They're brewing Gossamer and over ale. Under the name Suncatcher. Oh, so they don't have a Chicago home. They're looking for one. They brewed this first batch at Hill Farmstead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
While they find a Chicago place. Oh, so then...
That's like the most... Why? There's hundreds of other places between here and Vermont.
Yeah, for sure. They must have, you know, they must have friends in Vermont. Oh, so then Half Acre comes out and makes a statement about it. And apparently... This is Half Acre's sister brewery is Suncatcher.
Oh.
So Half Acre's doing the fucking they're doing the Salamo thing, the dry hop corridor thing. So this is
But why not just brew Salamo, it at,
I don't,
at Half Acre?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. But it sounds like this is their sister brewery is Suncatcher. So the guy didn't leave, Matt Gallagher didn't leave. He's just starting a complimentary project to Half Acre.
He's like, you guys got these beers under control.
Yeah.
I'm going to mess around on this small test batch system, and then I'll go see what happens over here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to know more about it because, like, you know, when you talk to, whenever you listen to Brewers Association talk, beer is flat. No one, if anybody's growing sales, it's very slow sales.
Right.
So it's like, well, how do you pivot from that? You know, you can go into, you know,
you get smaller and localer.
You can go to mixed cocktails, right? Or just start making fucking, you know, straight up spirits. Or, I mean, maybe this is their response to just a category of beer kind of flattening. It's like, hey, let's just have an alternate brand, right? Because we saw that with the brewery did that a while ago. I don't know how well that went for them, but the brewery had a separate brewery, another yeah. project. It is working from a distance. It seems like it's working for Corridor. And Crushed by Giants and Dry Hop and whatever the third one.
It's like the whole capitalistic idea of like it's perception of choice, but really don't have choice here.
Right,
like just kind of like AB buying all these breweries and keeping all the names.
Yeah.
Oh, this is still a Half Acre beer, or this is still Hidden Hands, it's still a Salamo's beer.
Oh, that's
beer.
Right. Hidden Hands and Salamo. That's what you were saying.
So,
yeah. So, exactly. It sounds like a lot like Salamo's Hidden
it's
Hands.
A perception of choice.
Yeah.
Possibly. Or the Unani and Hubbard's Cave.
That was in response to his distributor telling him that they won't sell his IPAs.
Right.
Yeah.
That one's much more intertwined, I think.
Yeah.
So but
I'm curious to know more about like what you're saying. Like, hey, what's the idea that led to this decision? What are those thoughts? I'd like to know more about that. But that's what Half Acre said this week, a couple of days ago, on one of their feeds.
Huh.
That's interesting. Suncatcher, the sister project. Well, we've talked to them in the past, and they talked about how the license from Lincoln came with them, and don't be surprised if they open another location. We've heard the Half Acre guys say that.
Right.
So perhaps this is what that meant.
Test some beers,
yeah.
And just open a Suncatcher location.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
So Suncatcher's at like 18 accounts. You know, it's at Off Color. It's at Hop Leaf. It's around town. They're pouring it at Half Acre.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's at Beer Temple. Like
Suncatcher. It's really a Hills Farmstead Half Acre kind of collab.
They're calling it the Hills Farmstead Sessions, these three beers. The brown ale, the, you know, the pale and... Whatever the third one was.
We can't even get Hills Farmstead here.
No.
Right?
No. And, you know, I don't know much about Hill Farmstead, but from what I've heard, it's like, it's literally on a farm, and the farm has its own water source, and that's what kind of makes the beer special.
I've been there before they expand it.
Yeah.
And just kind of rolled up in the car. You go down country roads for a while, and then you're just at someone's house, kind of. But now I think they've expanded a little more.
Yeah. But this would explain how there's been a drop of Hill Farmstead stuff. Like at the same places I named. Like
okay.
They have like the pail at those places.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I forgot to say that. I wanted to mention that.
Huh.
So I like the Half Acre guys. I kinda wanna know how you ended up with this project.
Right. Really interesting. It makes me wanna go try one of these or see what's up.
Yeah.
I know more. Interesting. So. All right, let's open another one. What do you want? You want to go Bubble House or you want this?
Sure, call man.
Bubble House. You know, I feel like we opened that black IPA.
Yeah,
something.
I think so too.
Nice. You made a couple other stops. You were up at Two Brothers.
Right? Oh yeah, man! Shout out to Dos Bros. I went there for lunch. The Roundhouse. That's how Walter, it used to be. Walter Payton's old Roundhouse, man. You know they won a JBF medal as Walter Payton's Roundhouse.
What?
Yeah, I was looking it up when I tell you.
Awards mean nothing.
They opened up, won an award, and then got bought by Two Brothers.
Went out of business first.
Or went out of business, yeah. Yeah. So I went out there looking for the...
Didn't Two Brothers buy that for a dollar?
Is that what happened? It's a ridiculous... Well, you've been there. It's a ridiculous space.
I think that...
This is the biggest fucking space.
I think the Aurora paid for it, but they had to sell it to someone, but they needed someone to go in there. And Two Brothers was like, okay, we'll make it happen.
It's a distillery. It's a coffee shop.
But they had to buy it, so they bought it for a dollar? Why do I sound like this is familiar?
I feel like I've heard this before, too. This is before they started shaking babies, right? Two Brothers, right? So distillery. There's two bars in there, right? There's bars on each side when you walk. Roundhouse is because the train literally turns, the cars for the train turn around and go back to the city.
Or it used to.
So that's how it started, and it's not like that anymore.
I don't know if they still turn around there. I think it used to be where you did see the Roundhouse. I don't, what would we have seen this in? I don't know, like a Mr. Rogers episode or like a, I don't know.
Like a toy train set kind of thing?
Yeah, and it would go into this thing or a Thomas the Tank Engine show, and there's this, and it would just, the track would turn, and then the train would go into a different direction.
I love that there's been a Thomas the Tank and Mr. Rogers reference both in this episode. That's pretty cool.
I can't remember where we would have seen this, but okay. But I don't think you turn around there anymore because trains go farther now. They don't Well, is that the last stop?
Aurora's the last stop.
I think they can just be like,
we're just going back the other way.
We'll just go back the other way. We don't need to turn.
Right. We just go back the other way. I think you're right. Oh, so this place is open at like 6 in the morning and then it goes open all fucking day. When you walk in, there's a coffee shop and there's a bar and restaurant to the left. There's another bar and restaurant to the right. It's just a massive space. So, you know, I went there to meet a buddy for lunch. I was looking for Cain and Abel because that's my jam. That was my first beer I really dug from them. They didn't have that. Apparently it's a seasonal. They're sold out of Cain and Abel. Really? I'm like, this is bullshit. So then I got the French Country Ale, Domaine DuPage.
Yeah.
I got that. I got a burger. And then I got out of there. Oh, but I'm like, well, I'd like a sour because I remember having these really cool little tiny bottles from them. But they didn't have it in bottles. They had it in cans. So I got something called a Fruit Punch Sour Ale called Astro Fizz that the bartender was really excited about. It was on draft, but I just got the 4-pack.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it was just a quick in and out stop at the old Roundhouse.
Okay. I have noticed their uptick in, I don't know, posts or social media things. And I think they're like trying to... Or realizing that they're like 8 beers aren't cutting it.
They were when you listen to them talk when like at the launch of that that 3-story thing in downtown Naperville.
Yeah.
The Northmen, they were very proud of the fact that they had these 8 SKUs and how well they were doing. In they were the only crew in the state that had 8 different SKUs in the Nielsen ratings of big box stores, right? Oh, but yeah, but then that only gets you... They've been around since 1996, I think.
Right.
So that...
And they expanded to Arizona, which I don't know if that's still... If the cans or the packaging still says Warrenville and Scottsdale or whatever. Mm. It used to for a little bit.
Yeah, so they probably brew them both. Kind of makes sense for the spring training.
Right.
Right, for both teams, right? Well, I think one of them's in Florida, but one's in Arizona. Okay. It might be the Sox. But yeah, it just makes sense for... people relocate. People do winter bird thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that. They probably do that shit. That's probably how it ended up out there. You know? Yeah. But yeah, went to Dos Bros.
Nice.
First stop.
And then you were over at Maplewood.
Yeah, man. I started at Ravinia, and I wanted to get on the roof because it was a beautiful day. But the guy was confused about if there was seating and if they even had this Brewer's Triangle beer.
Can't you just walk up there?
Is that how it was?
The roof?
Yeah.
I thought you
could just go up there?
I don't know. Maybe they could see. I don't know.
So it was a lot of, you know, and they no, but they were doing a Pine Box Derby festival that day. So they had these little race cars that people built. And, you know.
Yeah.
So the dude's on the microphone, super loud. So it was very chaotic that day at Ravinia. So I'm like, well, listen, if you guys don't know what's going on, I'm going to just walk to Maplewood and get this beer because I really just came for the dry hopped Helles Lager collaboration for the newly formed Brewers Triangle. We haven't talked about Brewers Triangle, man.
Okay.
So what's that? That's a collab between Metro, Ravinia, and Maplewood.
Okay.
And they had their party same day as Dark Lord Day. So block party where they encourage you to bounce between all three. It's probably like, what, a mile between all three?
We biked from Metro to Ravinia. Didn't have time to go to Maplewood on that.
Maple was a block from Ravinia. And it's you're kind of surprised at how fast you can get to Metro from Maplewood.
Yeah.
Yeah. You on foot, you're probably...
Oh, because you can go down the side street.
You can walk down Maplewood.
Then you're at Bar N.
The taco joint. The N Bar, yeah.
Yeah, and then you're at Metro.
There's like fucking 10 minutes, if that. Yeah.
That's true. It is way closer than...
It feels further.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got the Helles Lager. It's brewed at Maplewood. I don't know why Metro didn't make this beer. So, I mean, it was fine.
It's fine.
Made for some cool picks because I have a set of very cool Maplewood glasses.
Okay.
So the pick came out.
Nice.
Decent.
Okay, cool. So
there you go.
Awesome. So those were a few stops this past week, past couple weeks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, from us recording this, Friday is the closing ceremonies of Illinois Craft Beer Week.
It's over.
It's done.
Here you are. I'm in Aurora and in Munster, Indiana. You're in fucking Montana.
Right.
And then we missed Craft Beer Week.
But we've said before we live every week like it's Illinois Craft Beer Week.
You've been watching too much Fast and the Furious.
Quarter mile at a time.
Oh man.
Mr. Rogers and Fast and the Furious references. So the closing ceremonies are at Bug, which is at Union Station, kicking off at 4:30 is VIP.
Okay.
And
hey,
this is, we've poo-pooed the location a few times. We've heard maybe the reason why it's there. It's cost-effective.
Cost-effective, and you get your most bang for your buck because it is a fundraiser.
Right, and if you're coming in from most of the burbs, even if you're coming in from the burbs that do the Ogilvy station, it's literally across the street. So if you went there, it's easy to get to for most. It's easy to get to for everyone outside of the city.
Yep.
Inside the city.
I'm trying to think of where the fuck I'm going to park down here. I mean, it'll be fine, but yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Just jump on the Irving, get on the Irving Park Metro stop and take it to.
I got this jumper's knee, Brad. I'm not as mobile as I used to be.
But the other thing is this kicks off, this is the close, and it's on a holiday weekend. Where I think it was a week earlier.
Oh, for sure, because it was the open, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see how it turns out, what the turnout's going to be. The train station should probably be pretty empty because it's a Friday. Most people often don't go to the office on Friday.
Most commuters, if they went in at all, they probably left by the time this party starts.
Right, and that it's a holiday weekend, they probably definitely left.
Yeah.
So the train station shouldn't be very busy over there for this. So that's a plus, I guess, if you're making your way there.
Yeah.
I think we'll both be there.
Yeah, I think so too. And I get the feeling that brewers are going to dress to impress. And just bring some cool shit, you know? So that'll be good, right? We can go around and get what these guys think is their cooler offerings.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that.
I'm excited to try a few of the spots we haven't on our suburban journeys gone to.
For sure.
I think last year Milk Money was there. And so wouldn't mind trying them again. A couple from maybe the south side or even the farther north side. That I haven't gone to yet. Yeah, a few spots like that. I can't even think of any off the top of my head, but yeah. And then the next day, or the next 2 days on that Saturday and Sunday, is May Festiversary.
Oh, man. Fucking.
Bagayo, we got this Dicey Riley here.
Dude, I've always enjoyed Bagayo because we always drink it on the show, but seeing them, you know, do that 10th anniversary party, I'm like, dude. And then going to their May Festiversary twice a year, I'm like, these dudes party.
Okay.
They're probably the best in the city right now for parties. You know,
we should probably roll through. It's the unofficial closing of Illinois Craft Brewery.
And I can ride my bike to this place, so okay. I'm down for a bike ride. Yeah.
So there you go. So check that out happening too. Those are tickets are for sale for Oak Park Microbrew.
Oh yeah, man! Shout out to Heather Kunder. I saw her this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're already promoting it. Yeah. Nice. If you go to Oak Park, you're looking to rent an apartment. They have a flyer for the things to do in Oak Park. Yours truly, Brad and Nick are in this flyer. You know. So
do we get royalties for that? I didn't sign off on this.
I'm gonna have to sue the city of Oak Park for using our likeness, man, without exactly. our permission. Yeah. Right? You know, I gotta get some ceiling fans here. So.
The only other thing I saw was a label got approved for Honkers.
Honkers Ale. There's always been a conversation that Honkers disappeared from shelves, but you get it on draft, and people are kind of clamoring for some Honkers Ale locally, right?
Are they?
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like people say they are.
People say they are is probably a better description for Honkers. I like a Honkers, you know. Well, Honkers is hard to make. Honkers is, no exaggeration, it's like, you know, it's four different malts. It's like six different hops. Like, even though it's a small beer, it's like 4.5%. Like, it's a very complicated beer.
Yeah.
So I dig it because, it was the first beer they ever came out with. So I dig it for what it means, not just because I want a fucking mild ale or an ESB.
Yeah.
I have to have an ESB. I don't want it for that. I appreciate what it means, you know. Okay. Yeah, but
I don't know. We should hit up Mike over at Clybourne.
I think you're right about that, man, because, you know, they're going to be gone soon.
Hit them up, get a little closing farewell story.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Been over a year, I think, since we've been there.
That's right, because the Bulls playoffs from 2022. We were talking about how they might be in Milwaukee. I don't know why we said that.
Dreams. Dream. Copium. But is that going to do it? We didn't get into these last two, this Revolution, what was it, the Saison?
Oh, yeah. Lucia. Do we know anything about Lucia? It's Kedzie. It says Kedzie on there. It's a cool can. It's purple. I like purple.
Yeah, this came out during one of the Deep Woods releases.
They don't really talk. Should we open it? They don't really talk
about it. Yeah, we can give it a try as we wrap up here.
We don't really. I don't remember them talking about what Lucia was. She's kind of got like a samurai is the first thing I wanted to say, but that doesn't make sense. But she's definitely a. Not to be messed with. Is that a pistol? She's got a long shotgun. Is that what's going on there?
Is that a shotgun?
What is that?
No. She's... It's just the Kedzie, like, sign.
Oh, is that the street pole?
Yeah, that's a street pole with, like, workers. It almost feels like more Russian propaganda kind of vibe.
I was hoping it was, like, some uprising and some violence happened and then it went down and Lucille was there.
Beautiful, like, light. Straw color, super clear, nice head there.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked about it when we first, when it first came out or when it was first released, and it just fell off the radar.
Yeah. Yeah, Lucia's got a stopwatch, and I think this is some workers' thing because you've got what looks like the Haymarket Monument iconography on there.
It's very light. Taste it almost when you drink it, you don't even taste anything at first, and then it hits you. It's kind of weird. It is a little old. Oh, this is May 2021. So this is 2 year old.
Saison,
yeah.
Still looks great. Those tart notes are coming out a lot more, right? It's more like a not really sour, but. I kind of get like a tart lemon or something. Or what else is tart? More like a...
It does feel like it's lacking. Like it's 2 years old. It probably needs to be in like a champagne kind of flute or something a little nicer to kind of get those bubbles and that aroma going.
So we're doing it all wrong?
I guess, but it's 2 years old, so we probably should have already drank this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
If I see them there, and I'm going to ask them who Lucia is.
I bet they told us, and someone's yelling at the screen, or they're in their car right now, being like, "It's a god, man." But cool. So Bubble House, Beguile, Dutch Bag, Casa Humilde, Revolution, and then we had the Scorched Earth, which we didn't get into. So
Illinois Craft Beer Week, we did it. Good job by you.
We got 4 Chicago, 2 Burbs. Not bad.
Because, you know, it used to be Chicago Craft Beer Week, but now it's Illinois Craft Beer Week.
Yeah. So. Cool. So, Nick, where can people find you if they're not looking for you at Beer Under Glass?
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, posting lots of photos on Instagram. And we'll be back very soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.